Morning, everyone. Today's scripture reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. Jesus and Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." This is the word of the Lord.
Lord our God, we are indeed very, very grateful for your love, for your grace, for all the blessings we experience in our lives, for just the opportunity to be here this morning, to gather around your word, to lift you up in worship, and to listen, hear what you want us to know and believe. And Lord, I pray that whatever it is that hinders anyone here today to give themselves to this time, to this moment, that you will, with your Spirit, open their hearts, open their minds, open their lives to receive. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, over the next four Sundays, which is for the remainder of this year's Easter season, until we get to Pentecost, and it's going to be a great Pentecost this year with a baptism and two of our students who will be professing their faith. But for the next 4 weeks, we're going to focus on rising with Christ. The Bible says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. The Bible is full of stories of redemption, of change, of hope. And through four of those stories, we are going to discover how faith in a risen Jesus can transform our lives for the better here and now. No matter how big or how small we fall, God outstretches his hand and is ready to raise us up and help us to a new life, to walk in newness of life. So Reverend Amanda preached on this passage last Sunday, those of you who were here, and it was a great message, really was. She put a different focus on a story that we've heard a lot about Thomas. And I think we all found it interesting and very meaningful, and I truly hope that it works out for Reverend Amanda. But as we talk about rising from our skepticism, I want to ask you, do you ever doubt something or someone? Have you ever experienced significant doubt in your workplace or in a relationship, in God, in your faith? Maybe something minor, maybe something major, because doubts may be small or large. And was there something that helped you move from doubt to belief? For instance, did you go somewhere? Did you talk to someone Who did you call on, and what was their response? I think as human beings, we all experience doubt, and it's okay. It's okay. Friedrich Buchner said, whether your faith is that there is a God or that there is not a God, if you don't have any doubts, you're either kidding yourself or you're asleep. Doubts are the ants in the pants of faith, he said. They keep it awake and moving. And so you see, doubt can definitely impact your life, and it can shape your journey of faith in many different ways. And what we will see today is that in the end, what the journey from unbelief to belief really requires is a grace-filled encounter with the living Christ. In our scripture passage that Jean read, we see that Thomas was not with the other disciples when the resurrected Jesus appeared among them for the first time. And of course, they told Thomas what had happened, but he wouldn't believe that. He was skeptical. His take was, I have to experience it for myself. I have to see it for myself. I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands and put my fingers into them and place my hand into his side. Now, Thomas was an interesting character. Earlier in his ministry, when Jesus heard that his good friend Lazarus was sick and said to the disciples, well, let's go back to Judea. They said, Jesus, just a short time ago, the people there wanted to stone you. They wanted to kill you. And you're planning to go back. And Thomas, you know, he said kind of sarcastically, let's all go along with the teacher so that we may die with him. And when Jesus told them that he was going back to his father's house and prepare a place for them there, and that they know the way to get there as well, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way to get there? So Thomas wasn't afraid to put himself out there, to share his opinion, or to ask questions. And so he says here, unless I see the nail holes in his hands and put my finger in the nail holes and stick my hand in his side, I won't believe it. And then a week later, Jesus appears again. And he doesn't condemn Thomas. He doesn't judge him. He's not threatened. He's not agitated. In fact, Jesus gives Thomas exactly what he asks for. He's gracious with him. He honors his skepticism. He responds with time and space and kindness and compassion. And then when Thomas says, Jesus, you are my Lord and my God, he says to Thomas, so you believe because you've seen with your own eyes. Even better blessings are in store for those who believe without seeing. It says, those who believe without seeing me will truly be blessed. So this verse, you know, it's caused many people to see Thomas's doubt as a sin, as something wrong. And that believing without seeing is the ideal and the preferred way to come to faith. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But what I see here is that Jesus' response to Thomas's skepticism transforms him and raises him to a place of trusting belief. And maybe when you've had doubts, someone told you that you are not faithful enough, that you're not allowed to question or have doubts. That it's a sin, you know, to ask critical questions. And maybe that caused you to limit your participation in the faith community. And maybe that affected your ability to be honest about your struggles. And maybe that prevented you from putting yourself out there. So I want you to know that Jesus is not condemning you when you have doubts. He will meet you where you're at in grace. Don't be ashamed of your doubts, because that can be very limiting. For Thomas, the redemption from skepticism came in putting it out in the open. He asked for what he needed, and he allowed the encounter with the risen Christ to transform him. In his doubt, he meets Jesus, and it allows him to believe. And it propels him forward in his faith. The Bible doesn't tell us much about the rest of Thomas' story. But what we know is that he was with the other disciples when the risen Christ fed them breakfast by the sea. And he was there in the upper room praying with them after Jesus ascended to heaven. He believed, and he continued to be one of the 12 apostles of Jesus. He was a full member and leader of the early church community. Later, he traveled to India preaching the gospel, starting the church there before ultimately dying for his faith. So Thomas certainly rose from his skepticism. And if God could work through this once doubting disciple, he can raise us from our places of doubt, from our skepticism, from our other struggles of faith as well. And even as you struggle with your doubts, God continues to be present in your life. And he's not done with you yet. And so let me ask you then, what do you need from God when you find yourself in a season of doubt? How do you want the risen Christ to meet with you? Do you need some kind of a sign? Do you need some form of encouragement? Do you need some affirmation of God's presence in your life? Do you need some kind of peace in your heart? What do you need? And are you asking God for what you need? And do you believe that he will respond? Let me ask you this. Even with your doubts, are you willing to stick around? Will you continue to seek God's presence? Because the Bible says if you seek God, if you seek God with all your heart, you will find him. Is there a way for you to act faithfully even in spite of your doubts? And sometimes we just need that someone to encourage us. That someone who will embody faith for us. Especially when we go through a season of loss. When we're grieving, when we go through great change, when we experience a loss of meaning or purpose, that's when doubt and skepticism overwhelm us, or can overwhelm us. And that's when, more than maybe any other time, we need someone to embody the risen Christ for us in our doubt. Someone to even believe for us, to believe on our behalf when we are struggling. Someone who, just like Jesus, will not give up on us. And if that person is you, by the way, thank you. Thank you for helping others from doubt to rise from doubt to believe. There are times when we all need that grace-filled response that Jesus was for Thomas in his season of doubt. And my prayer this morning is that when we find ourselves in the doldrums of doubt, there will be others who hold us upright, who encourage us to rise from our skepticism. But even more important than that, that we will experience a grace-filled encounter with the living Christ himself. Amen. Merciful God, thank you. We all know that we have doubts. There's nobody here this morning who's never doubted in someone or something, who's never maybe doubted in you or in their faith. Thank you for reassuring us it's not a sin to be skeptical, to ask questions, to put ourselves out there. But thank you also for reassuring us that when we truly seek you, we will find you. Thank you for providing us with fellow church members or other believers who will hold us up when we feel like we can't continue because of our struggles. And if any of us have any doubts about you or your love or your grace or your sovereignty or whatever it is that causes us to question you, may your Son, Jesus, meet with us and strengthen our faith so that we believe that you are Lord and that you are God. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.